Order is to order at 10 after 8. Present is Representative Ramos, Representative Lynn, Representative Gardner, myself, Chair Seaton. I'd like to remind everybody about their cell phones, and we've been joined by Representative Elkins. First item on today's agenda is HAR 12, Constitutional Amendment, eliminating the Budget Reserve Fund. And we have Speaker Harris with us, then his bill. Please go ahead and identify yourself for the record.
You already identified me for the record, but for the record, I'm John Harris, representative from District 12, and with me is my Chief of Staff, Tom Wright. And before you is the Ways and Means version of HJR 12. Before I get started, just on a little personal note, I want to offer my condolences to you, Mr. Chairman. I know you lost your mother, and you're leaving us today or tomorrow.
Yes, today.
And I wish Godspeed and hope all works out well for your family.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
With that, you have before you a proposal to amend the Constitution of the State of Alaska involving the Constitutional Budget Reserve. And as you're well aware, the Constitutional Budget Reserve has a couple of provisions, one of which is a three-quarter vote provision to access it. The other one is the sweep provision, which sweeps funds that are eligible into Constitutional Budget Reserve unless there's a provision in the budget which reverses those sweeps. The reverse sweep motion is also a three-quarter vote. So, Mr. Chairman, what I have envisioned doing, it's not just my vision, but there's others that have thought about it as well, is to take and remove the Constitutional Budget Reserve from the Constitution and put it into another constitutionally protected fund, but one that is a capital generation fund, the earnings of which would be used for capital construction, maintenance, repair of our facilities throughout the state. Now, some people would say, well, that takes away the minority's leverage in the three-quarter vote. What I say is it actually gives the minority probably more leverage ultimately. And the reason I say that is it also takes away the pot of money that the legislature has attempted to use and has used over the years to balance the budget on and has dipped into that regularly to come up with the needed funds to operate, to balance our operating budget and capital budget. I say that doesn't give us any opportunity, really, unless if the CBR is completely depleted, to have a fiscal plan to operate the state on, which almost every other state, in fact, all other states do. They have to balance their budget, and they don't seldom, if ever, dip into reserve funds. Now, some states, like Colorado, which adopted a constitutional amendment called the Tabor Amendment, which really puts some hamstrings them in their ability to raise money, to raise taxes, to operate their state government, have put themselves into a bad situation. I don't want Alaska to be there. We have so many unfunded capital needs in this state, deferred maintenance needs throughout our state, in airports, in schools, you know, in roads, and everything that we do as a government we need to put some money consistently year after year after year into the upgrades of those facilities. And the two parts that I say, that this will develop a capital generation fund, the earnings of which this Ways and Means version creates a POMV. We've all heard about the POMV involved in the permanent fund, but this creates a POMV which gives the inflation proofing of the fund automatically. If you believe that interest rates will be higher than 5%, determine that 5% is the amount. And so that helps to inflation-proof the fund. The other thing that it does, of course, that I feel that it does, is it sets the state up into a situation where we have to develop revenue long-range, and we can't just depend on the Constitutional Budget Reserve to dip into it whenever we feel that we don't have the will to either tax the people, use earnings of the permanent fund, or whatever, you know. So that's sort of a two-part piece here. My feeling is, of course, that politically the minority or the majority would benefit depending upon which way they chose to balance the budget. If oil revenues are down, you're going to have to balance the budget some way. Some folks will say, well, we won't dip into the permanent fund, and that will affect a certain group of legislators if they do. Others will say, well, we're going to impose a taxation, and those who vote for that could be affected. So I believe either way you'll have your political consequences no matter which way you do it. But as long as you have the CBR here and the crutch, you're never going to be able to get a fiscal plan on the table unless if it's absolutely dire straits and there's no money left in the CBR. Now, there is a, Mr. Chairman, there is a concern that's been expressed, and I understand that concern. I don't know if we have the perfect fix yet or not, but there's a concern about cash flow problems with the state, about the state being able to, to have enough money to balance its budget or to bring money forward until the payments come back from the oil industry or whomever we get large amounts of payments over time. And so rather than have another mechanism set up, we already have in state statute, we have statutory budget reserve, excuse me. And so what this proposed piece of legislation would do, and like I said, I don't know if it's a perfect piece yet or not, it certainly would have a lot of hearings on it when it gets finalized, but proposed to take $600 million from the CBR at the time that this constitutional amendment was passed and went into effect, it would take $600 million from the CBR and put it into the statutory fund, which would then be able to be used by the state government to borrow from and return back. I would like to see some bigger fences put around this money so it's a little more difficult for the legislature to get at it. My intention is not to just put $600 million or $700 million or whatever it ends up being into a pot of money for the legislature just to take it. It's really a cash availability fund for the administration to use, also an interest-bearing one that could help inflation-proof itself as well, but one that the administration could borrow money from, return it back, to make its payments until it got the cash back. But it couldn't borrow from it and never return the money back. It has to give the money back in there. So with that, I open it up for your questions, or Mr. Chairman, however you want to deal with it. And I do have another alleged council meeting at 8:30, which we'll probably discuss something near and dear to your heart. I'll leave it in my trusty hands of my chief of staff, Tom Wright, if I can't answer the questions.
Good, and we may break for that as well, since we've been dealing so much with POM or with Persian TERS, and that report is something that we were all debating about. Should we wait for the report to come out? And now we're going to have the preliminary report on the actuarial analysis at 8:30. So we might break at that time for a short visit to them. Questions for the sponsor? Yes, Representative Gardner.
I have a quick question, but first of all, I want to say that I'm really thrilled to see this as a possible first step toward having a real fiscal plan for this state, which is way overdue, and I think the people in my district very much want one, and I think that's probably true across the state. Quick question is, the CBR currently is invested in such a way that we're earning about 4% interest. Is that correct? And
I don't have the exact numbers, but it's invested more for liquidity than like the permanent fund is, for instance, because the need for it's a cash flow issue, you need to be cash available and that sort of thing.
So right off the top, this plan in changing the structure would potentially generate a higher interest rate than we're getting now. So if we just want to talk about total cash that is in the state, we'd be ahead.
That's correct.
Thank you.
And Mr. Speaker, I presume that the $600 million, which would be the cash flow account, would be have to be a liquid investment. So that would be part of that. But that is a good point, Representative Gardner, about the increase in the trade. Representative Framis, did you have a question? Or were you just looking at your coffee cup?
I was just admiring the Speaker's eloquence.
No. Are there any other questions?
He obviously needs something.
Representative Elkins.
Well, I just want to say, kind of like Representative Gardner, I think this is heading in the right direction, Mr. Speaker, and support wholeheartedly. So.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you know, this is not without its controversy, and I understand all that, and my intent is certainly not to penalize the minority. In fact, I'm working with Representative Croft very closely on this. Like I said, if the public were to vote for this, this would put the state in a situation where it would have to begin to adopt a long-range fiscal plan for the funding of its services. We cannot sidestep the issue, and I know that that is probably going to cause some folks who don't want to face that issue to not support this, and I understand all that, and you know, and the chances of this getting to the ballot, you know, are it's an uphill battle. Let's put it that way. I understand that, but it's got to be put out there, and it's got to continue to be put out there. And you see, Mr. Chairman, I don't want to get off the subject here, but you see proposals to use earnings of the permanent fund. Well, you know, that's controversial too. But we know that taxation and earnings of the permanent fund are probably the two things that we have available to us in a large enough quantity to fund the services of this state when the price of oil dips back down. And we know the price of oil will dip back down someday. It's not going to – I don't think the world's economy can support $50 or $60 a barrel oil consistently. So without some other type of resource, some other type of energy source. And so, you know, I don't think we can sit here with our head in the sand, knowing. And I sat in this legislature at the beginning of my political career here, at $8, $9 a barrel oil. And believe me, had that continued, and we didn't believe that would continue either, but we were faced with it. That would put us in the situation where the Constitutional Budget Reserve would be gone quickly. I mean, in just a matter of a couple years. And as the budget continues to increase, and we all know that's going to happen, and it continues to happen because of certain services that are hard to get away from. If you don't want to increase your public education system, and you don't want to deal with your public health issues and Medicaid issues and that sort of thing, then you can keep the budget down. But the hue and cry from the people of this state is going to mean that most of us probably won't be here if we don't address those issues. And so that causes the budget to increase. You just can't get away from it. And as the budget continues to increase, we're dependent upon one source of revenue. And if that source of revenue does not continue to increase along with, or the volume of that revenue doesn't continue to increase, we're putting ourselves in a bad situation. And that's what I continue to try to stress to people. Look, you don't have to be a genius here in this business to figure out it's a balance of payments issue here. You have a certain amount of cost, you have to have a certain amount of revenue. And when that certain amount of revenue decreases itself, your savings are going to go. And all this does is it says, let's address that now rather than later. And let's address it while we have $50 a barrel oil rather than when we have $30 a barrel oil, which many of us would have been just doing cartwheels over. But now $30 a barrel oil is what we have to have just to balance the budget. So you can imagine what we would have been in at $10 a barrel oil. You know, we'd have been in a $1 billion-plus deficit and growing. And so as we as leaders of this state look at the state, we've got to make some tough choices, and this is one of the tough choices that I'm willing to put forward to the legislature.
Thank you, enough for me. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had a question. We heard in Ways and Means, which I'm a member of this bill, and I'm supportive of it. The statutory budget reserve fund, the way it's set up right now, you were finance co-chair, operating budget. Could you explain to us how that's currently used? It seems like it's
Mr. Chairman, I don't think there's any money in that at this point in time.
Oh, is that?
Yeah, I think it's a bare. It's an act. It's a statute, but it's not. But there's nothing in it.
Oh, okay. Well, then,
to the best of my knowledge, anyway, there's nothing in it at this point.
Yeah, as we're reading the statute here, it looks like there's mental health and appropriate. You know, there are a number.
I could be wrong. I don't have all the facts in front of me. I had to do a little due diligence on my part, but it's not something that the legislature anyway dips into periodically or anything else for money.
Okay, that'd be good.
And I'm aware of it.
Maybe what we can do is your staff and my staff.
I can get Department of Revenue or something.
Or revenue. This is really for finance, but I would really like to see when it goes to finance that current statutory language looked at and making this fund directed to a cash flow account instead of the way it is right now. It's very difficult to see what it's used for. But I appreciate you having a bill here that would direct to the cash flow account and having a mechanism for doing that, because that was one of our big questions, my big questions before. Are there any other questions for the speaker? Seeing none, sure appreciate your visiting with us this morning, and we'll see you a little later here probably.
Good to be back.
Let's go. Thank you for joining. Let's see, does anyone have discussion on the bill? Yes, Representative Gardner.
Are you ready to have the bill moved? We're going to take public testimony?
Yeah, we will, but I just wanted to get discussion, if there was any discussion first.
Well, I think it's very interesting, okay. And I sort of look forward to hearing testimony and
good.
What happens.
And I will open a public testimony. I don't see any with me here. Is there anyone online? On H.R. 12, is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify on House Joint Resolution 12? Seeing none, close public testimony. Is Representative Lynn in the hall? Could you ask him for a term, please? Briefity.
Morning, Max.
Bill, was it 12?
House Joint Resolution
12, I'm sorry. Number 24-LS0896.
Yes. Computer froze. Okay, we'll take a brief at ease.
Okay.